You're listening to EPN, the ePodcast Network.
Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network, your channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and some of the world's top executives who share business strategies and insights that can all help you build your business, leading to your business success. And now, broadcasting from anywhere between Brazil, South America to Los Angeles, California, it is your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Today, we are visiting with, once again, Mr. Jonathan Citrin, a top keynote speaker on human behavior and behavioral finance, author and financial advisor. Mr. Citrin, always great to have you with us here on Enterprise Radio.
Thank you for having me. An honor to be here.
My sentiments exactly, and always good to have you. So, I'd like to start by briefly getting an update on what you've been doing the last few months since we've last interviewed you here, and where have you been spending most of your time and energy?
Yeah, thanks. I think, I don't know the exact day you and I last spoke, but it has been a few months, and it's been a crazy few months, and I'm certain it's been the same for you. I'm always doing research, so I guess research should be on the list if I'm giving you an update on what I've been doing. And just to remind listeners, my research usually revolves around the interplay between the human brain and financial markets, and then trying to take that information, what we know from markets, from finance, and then relate it to people's businesses and lives, because there's this huge field of behavioral finance that's becoming a very robust field. It has been developing, I would say, at a faster rate over the last couple of decades, and really the last maybe 4 or 5 years, just accelerating significantly. And my main concern is not, hey, how do investors make more money using behavioral finance, but how do we improve our businesses? How do we help entrepreneurs? And then how do we improve our lives from the knowledge that we're learning from markets and economics? So I've been doing a lot of research, and to be quite honest, I've been on the road a lot. I've been doing a lot of public speaking, most notably talking about the topic of control, because at the end of the day, what I really recognized is in markets, people are after control, Eric, and they want to control in their investments and in their portfolios. They want to control every which thing, and ultimately, they can't. There's only a certain amount of control that you can have when you're investing, and I think that that's pretty similar to life. So I've been doing a heck of a lot of talking about control more than anything. A lot of talks to a lot of groups, and it's been really rewarding. Thanks for asking.
And you're most welcome. Now, you mentioned you'd been very busy talking a lot about control, but what do you actually mean by control, and why are you so fixed on that topic?
First I would say, and I'm glad you mentioned that, because I get so used to talking about it that it's second nature, and I know what I mean by it, but audiences and listeners don't always know. I think if we all step back, the first thing we can all admit on is we all crave control on a fundamental level. As human beings, our societies are built around the idea of control. Even our elections, who can have the best control on the outcomes, who can make the most happen. I would say that it starts for me in markets. In markets, there is, we try to control the outcomes, and that would be, how much we earn and how much risk we take in our portfolios. And I think that that's the same thing with businesses. Businesses try to control how much money they make, how successful they are, entrepreneurs as well. And then in our lives, I think that the spillover is pretty obvious. So when I say control, I'm really talking about control of how things come out, the outcome of things. And what's so fascinating is, Eric, I would ask the listeners to think about this one question: are we truly in control? And to kind of go down that road just for a second, I want to just talk to you about a couple of ideas. One is the idea of what's called anchoring, just to put it on people's minds whether or not they're in control. So in finance, we have this idea of anchoring, but I think it'll be pretty obvious how that relates over to everyday life. And the idea of anchoring, Eric, is that we don't make decisions based on what's objectively true, we make decisions based on the relative nature of things. So as an example, if somebody was going to buy a sweater at a store, and the sweater was originally priced at $99.95, but on sale for $50, your brain does not ask, well, is $50 a good deal? Your brain does what's called anchoring. It anchors to the original price of $99.95. And so you think you're in control. You think you're making a good decision. Well, I got this sweater for $50 when it was originally almost $100. But what your brain did below the surface was your brain didn't ask itself, is $50 a good deal? Your brain just figured that $50 was better than $100. Another maybe an easier one for people to kind of grasp would be the concept of what's called availability. And availability is the idea that we think things are more probable based on how available they are in our mind. So in finance, I like to tell people that immediately after a stock market crash, we think another one is imminent. It's going to happen, you know, right away. And as we get further away from a stock market crash, we tend to forget about it. And you can think about that in terms of any decision we make, whether it's where we go on vacation relative to a terrorist attack. I mean, if we're making decisions and we see the news and they're talking about terror, we think that it's more likely that something's going to happen. But also, if we're making decisions in our businesses about products, every decision we make, our brain under the surface plays all of these tricks on us. And here we think we're in control and we're either investing or building businesses or making decisions in our lives to get to these outcomes. Because remember, we're talking about, can we control the outcomes of things? And so, you know, when I talk about control, I'm not just talking about what is control. I'm talking about, we all want this. We all want control. But do we really have it? And when I'm up in front of audiences, what's so cool, what's really rewarding, is when I start talking about these tricks, these mental tricks that our brain plays on us, just as one part of what I talk about, people start to realize, wow, I think I'm a lot smarter than I really am. I think I'm in control, but I'm truly not. So I would say there are, you know, two sides to what is control. One is the definition, what do I mean? We're trying to control outcomes. And the second part of that is, do we really have it? And the answer is, no, we don't really have control.
And quite interesting. So a desire for control is obviously deeply seated in all of us. Can you tell us how this impacts businesses and entrepreneurs?
Yeah, you know, I think it's started with me years ago when I saw investors making mistakes time and time again. And I started to realize that this is not just the people who invest in businesses, but the businesses themselves. The CEOs and the entrepreneurs, the decision makers of businesses are making all these mental mistakes. And really, I guess mistakes is probably a little strong. Let's call them shortcuts. But they compromise our objectivity. They compromise our logic. So you might in a business be thinking about a new product. You might be thinking about hiring a new salesperson or a new manager. You might be thinking about making a capital investment with your money. And so the question is, are you truly in control of the outcome of things when you're making those decisions? And if you're not looking at the problem objectively, if you don't understand what's happening below the surface in your brain, you're not technically in control. I would throw out something that it's called confirmation bias. And below the surface, your brain is very, very adept. It's very slick. It is smarter than you think it is. And you go to look at a new investment for your business, or you're thinking of opening up a second location, and you're doing all this research about this new investment or this new location. And what you don't know is that below the surface, your brain has already made up its mind. And then when you go to look for and do research on that decision, what happens is your brain, it's called confirmation bias. Your brain looks for information that simply confirms its original bias. So you're not as objective as you think you are. And you can imagine as a business how that would impact, you know, everything you do. I would tell you that another really tangible one, Eric, is the idea of loss aversion. We it's been proven on a scientific level that the human brain dislikes loss very, very strongly. So if you have a business that's not doing well or a product line that's not doing well, we tend to let that go longer and longer and longer because we don't want to admit the loss. We don't want to take that hit. I've seen it in investing all the time, but it's business-wise too. And so are you staying as an entrepreneur or as a business owner or a decision maker in a business, are you staying in that losing bet, in that losing business or that losing product because it truly has legs and it might catch on eventually? Or are you just averse to the loss like every other human? So you can see how to your question, the impact on businesses is just tenfold. It is ubiquitous, so to speak. Pretty powerful.
It certainly is. Today we're joined by Mr. Jonathan Citrin, a top keynote speaker on human behavior and behavioral finance, author and financial advisor. He's joined us once again here on Enterprise Radio, a part of the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Now, it's really something we don't hear about elsewhere, what we've been discussing here so far. Can you give us a few insights for businesses and entrepreneurs that will help them improve and overcome their need for control?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked. That's the perfect question. Because what does it matter? You got some guy on with you, talking about how screwed up our brains are, but how do we improve, right? I mean, it's no good just to tell people that they're not great decision makers. How do we get better? And I would tell you, awareness is number one. Just understanding that you're not as in control as you think you are. That the way you're framing things and looking at decisions is not as objective as you think it is a huge step in the right direction. On a little bit more micro, a little bit more granular level, your brain has two systems. I want listeners to understand that your brain has part of it, which is the cortex. It's the human side of it, the developed cognitive brain that is really, really smart and moves kind of slowly and doesn't play these tricks. What the other part of your brain, the other system that's working, is the more longer term, the more animalistic fight or flight quick response system. And what we want to do is first, of course, like I said, be aware, Eric, of what your brain is doing, that your brain, is playing tricks on you. But more than that, a little bit more tangible, we want to develop the thinking, cognitive, slower part of our brain, because we're all born where the fast, innate, kind of animalistic part is the part that really kind of drives us. And what we want to do is work on the part that actually thinks a little bit more, that's actually cognitive. And so something as simple as meditation is huge. And when you meditate, what you're actually doing is you are building up your brain's aptitude to use the cognitive part and not the animalistic part. But even for businesses, like something that's very tangible for businesses is the idea of having what I would call a blocker. So that's, if you have somebody in your business who every decision you make tells you that you're wrong, and you have to rethink it through, you're less likely to make these mistakes. And it could be on a new investment for a business, or it could be what you're eating for lunch. It doesn't really matter. We as humans make decisions so quickly using the animalistic side of our brain. If you have an employee or a colleague or a partner who can tell you, slow down and think about the repercussions, you're a lot better off. So there are a lot of different ways, but I just want people to understand kind of where I'm coming from. And I think, we're off and running.
Now, this has applications to business and entrepreneurs, but can we even apply it beyond that level, say, for example, in our personal lives?
Yeah, this is very applicable. I don't have to tell you. I mean, the food we eat, we're just thinking about the animalistic versus the thinking side of us. I mean, how many times do you sit down to lunch and say, where did my food come from? What you really do is you say, what am I craving? So that's, a great example of the food we eat. But it's who we vote for. It traverses every part of our existence. And I would just tell you that I have this saying, Eric, look within to see beyond. And really what you want to do is slow down and really look inside yourself and ask yourself, are you as in control as you think you are? And if you start asking yourself that question, you'll start to see new answers. So, I hope it's helpful for people.
Well, Mr. Citron, always good to have you each and every time. I know you're really busy with speaking engagements and traveling. And again, we really appreciate you taking out a moment to be with us. Where can listeners connect with you online and how could they get more information as well?
The best place is the website. It's my name, jonathancitron.com. And whether somebody wants to book us for a talk or just to ask a question, they can go there. And there's plenty of resources. And again, just thank you so much for having me. It's an important cause of mine, and I'm honored to be here.
And you're more than welcome, and certainly look forward to our next conversation right here on Enterprise Radio. Have a great day.
Thank you. Good to talk to you.
And good to talk to you as well. We've been speaking with Mr. Jonathan Citron, a top keynote speaker on human behavior and behavioral finance, author and financial advisor. And for all the details, visit jonathancitron.com. This is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Pick up our iPhone or Android mobile app for your exclusive mobile listening convenience. And once again, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks again for listening to Enterprise Radio here on the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. To subscribe for future programming, simply visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.